It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you with us on an absolutely gorgeous Monday morning. This coming Friday is Earth Day. And, you know, we pay a lot of lip service to Earth Day. We do just one day a year, but a couple of people that don't pay lip service to it, a couple of people that are all over it each and every day, are in studio with me right now. Laguna Art Museum Executive Director Julie Perlin Lee has brought along the president of One Whale, who does a lot of work in town. We know the stuff he does. We're looking forward to this conversation. Rich Gurman in with us this morning. Good morning, both of you.
Hey, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here.
Good to have you with us this morning. Thank you for getting up bright and early. Thank you for coming on in this morning. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Questions to ask you about the environment, and I need you both to eventually talk me down from my cynicism, right? But we've got an event happening this coming Friday at the Laguna Art Museum. It's called An Ocean Love Story. Tell us what's going to happen.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much. Well, first, it's so great to be working with One Whale, right? So we have a couple of things that are in common. One, we both have nature as one of our, you know, major initiatives. The museum through Art and Nature, of course, and One Whale you'll hear more about in their initiative to help preserve and save sea life. So when Rich came to me and said he wanted to do a fundraiser together for a possible fundraiser at the museum, I thought it was a terrific idea. We're both working with two extraordinary filmmakers who are shining a light on some of the perils of our ocean. And so we have that in common. And what better day to talk about the health of our ocean and how to treat it better and the things that live in it than on Earth Day.
Good point. Now, one of the filmmakers is Regina Crosby. Tell me about her film. And you're working with her.
Yeah, so a little backstory. For anyone that knows my story, I've been paddleboarding with dolphins and whales basically every single day here in Laguna Beach for the last 12 years. And anytime I have an opportunity to give back to these animals that have given so much to me, I'm always looking for those opportunities. So almost 3 years ago, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who said, hey, there's this filmmaker named Regina who splits time between San Clemente and Oslo, Norway, and she's documenting the story of a beluga whale that showed up in Hammerfest, Norway, wearing a harness that said Equipment St. Petersburg, and it's believed that he was a Russian spy for 6 years. Do you want to have lunch with this woman? You better believe I said where and when. So I met Regina down at the harbor in Dana Point, and she told me this amazing story about this whale, and I was just completely intrigued. And maybe people listening, you've seen a video of the whale capturing a GoPro from someone who dropped it in the water or playing rugby. He's perhaps the most famous whale in the world. And
Valdemir is his name.
His name is Valdemir. Mm-hmm. The Norwegian locals named him Val is the Norwegian word for whale. And you could figure out where the tie with Vladimir came from, since he came from Russia. So we kind of call him Baldy for short. Okay. Since Vladimir's not the most beloved name in the world right now. And so yeah, he's got an incredibly unique story, and honestly his life is in danger. And One Whale was created to protect this really special whale that we think really has the ability to help change the world.
Well, the whales themselves are on the watch list for being in danger. There's 200,000 of them currently in the ocean, which isn't a big number of whales. So they're currently on the watch list. This is where I need you to talk me down in my cynicism about humanity. Will that number dwindle before it grows?
Honestly, I'm a bit of a cynic like you, but I feel like what can we do but be hopeful and try to do something. If the fact that a whale was a Russian spy, mm-hmm, is not bizarre and unique enough, the fact that he decided to appear in Norway is even more incredible, because Norway is one of three countries left on the planet that still legally kills whales.
Right.
So our big vision for this project is not only in the short term to protect Valdemir, and we're doing that by creating a whale reserve, which will be the first legitimate whale reserve on the planet in Norway, but we're also working with marine parks and shopping malls in Asia that have beluga whales in tanks, right, in the mall,
right,
to create a sanctuary for these animals. And our big vision is that Norway will look at this project as such a shining light of conservation that they will rethink their whole take on whaling and put an end to that, so that we don't have to sit here 10 years from now saying, hey, there's only 10,000 whales left on the planet or whatever.
That's a beautiful and noble cause, by the way. And Norway's numbers, I need to let you know, have not changed since the late 80s. They're in the tens of thousands every year of whales killed. And really, what can the rest of the world do to put pressure on them? What can the average guy out on the kayak just cleaning kelp out of our oceans, what do we do?
I think for me and for our organization, we don't look at ourselves as activists. We're conservationists. Right. We're not anti-captivity. We don't shame the SeaWorlds of the world for putting dolphins and whales in concrete tanks, as much as we don't like that.
Right.
Instead of being anti-captivity, we're pro-whale. So we're really trying to come from a place of showing people that these are sacred animals that deserve to be loved and protected, versus shaming people and making them wrong. Because in my view, being in this world of nonprofits and activism for a while, it just doesn't work.
Right.
So it's got to come from a place of love and hope than fear and shaming people.
So during this conversation, I'm putting away the finger that normally points at people. I'm putting that finger
away.
His
middle finger, by the way. Right.
So, Julie, what can we expect this coming Friday night? What are the activities surrounding this event?
So it's going to be a great evening. We have both reached out to the people in our worlds, our respective worlds, and we're putting them together. They're colliding on Friday night. And, I would just say, what can you do? What can we all do? It's really important to support small projects like ours. I mean, we're both two people with, small groups of people around us with huge visions to do great big things. And it's really just, getting involved just a little bit, even just a little bit. A little bit, many, many people getting together can really help propel a project together. So this Friday, what you're going to see is we're going to welcome you into the museum, which is, we have such a beautiful location here in Laguna Beach. We look right out on the ocean. We are, intrinsically connected to nature where we are, which is why the Art and Nature program for the museum has been so successful. And we're going to be featuring two trailers from the films that are going to be eventually produced. For the museum, we're going to be inviting Rebecca Mendez. She's our featured artist for Art and Nature this November. So we're gearing up for our November Art and Nature program. And again, talking about hope and love and what can we do and not taking a negative approach, Rebecca's project deals with some real heavy stuff, which is the dumping of DDT barrels right here in our local ocean.
Right.
Thousands of
barrels. Right off Catalina Island.
Right between us.
Right.
So you look at the way the current flows and, you realize the current flows right past us, but it doesn't stop there. it flows all the way around the world, right? So we're trying to bring attention to something that's pretty invisible to most of us, and that if we don't bring it to light, it's not going to get talked about, and we don't know how to do, we don't know what to do with it eventually. And the reality is we don't know what to do with that site right now.
Right.
But we do need to bring attention to it. We need to make sure that no one else ever goes to such lengths again. This is something that happened decades ago, but it has effects today, right? And so we're working with the Pacific Marine Life Center and Professor Deming over there, looking at the uptick in cancer and sea life. Again, we're all connected. Right. We're working together on these projects that both affect the ocean and the nature around us in really, ways that are going to trickle back
right
to us,
right.
So if we're not careful about that. So we're going to be featuring both films. We're going to be raising some money. We're going to be creating awareness, and we're going to be using the museum as a community center again, which is, through the arts and really highlighting the art of filmmaking to make a difference. So we're hoping people will come out, and we're hoping people will support.
Tickets are available at lagunaartmuseum.org/events/ocean. I'll give you that address again in a second. If you want tickets to this, if you're the least bit curious about this, I would suggest getting tickets. Go to lagunaartmuseum.org/events/ocean. So I'm out on the kayak at least once a week, and I'm picking up mylar and crap from the ocean. And I think to myself, wow, we protected these waters 10 years ago, 12 years, really, and you think about it, the history of Laguna Beach, we waited way too long to make these protected waters. Whatever, that's beside the point. But our waters are now considered pristine, right. I guess. Is that because they've been protected? Would we be suffering some of the same things that we're seeing along other beaches along the coastline that aren't protected?
I think Laguna's been a true champion to our coastline. It was January 1st, 2012, so 10 years ago, when the Marine, not only Marine Protected Area, but Laguna, the stretch of coastline, became a no-take zone. Mm-hmm. And the difference in marine life from when I started paddleboarding at this exact time 12 years ago, right. You would go out there and look down, you wouldn't see any fish.
Right.
It was a dead zone. And if you ask the fishermen, why is there no fish out here? You know what they tell you? We caught it all. And just by, it's a true testament to what happens when we just leave the ocean alone. All of a sudden you go out there, there's little fish, there's big fish.
Right.
We have more species of dolphins and whales right here off our coastline than anywhere on the planet. And to me, there's a direct correlation between Laguna taking a stand to say, don't touch it, leave it alone. So I think it's perhaps our proudest achievement is putting that no-take zone in place.
Right, and I don't know if this is the right question to ask here, but can we use that same protection against the DDT that was being dumped? Can we use those same protections against the oil that's being leaked off the derricks? Can we combine those protections?
I think so. I think, like Julie said, it's creating awareness, telling people the problem. People don't know, if they don't know what's going on, they can't do anything. And it's the old Jacques Cousteau line, we protect what we love.
Right.
So that's all I've ever tried to do, is show people these marine animals that I love so much. And in showing people who may never have had that experience without seeing it, then all of a sudden, you know, how do you not fall in love with, going back to the beluga whale, how do you not fall in love with the most adorable white whale? Speaking of the event, there's some intensity to what both the DDT issue and a Russian spy whale, but it's going to be a very fun night.
Yeah, we do want to make sure we get that across too.
There's going to be music and alcohol and food and alcohol, a little bit of alcohol.
And
plus,
we're asking everyone to dress in white. Beluga chic.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, beluga chic is the suggested attire, so we're going to make it a fun night.
I have a white outfit I am never able to wear. I think to myself, well, where the hell am I going to wear this?
Friday night.
We're going to have
some white Russians. It's going to be a good time. The importance about arts and filmmaking and all of these things. How do you reach more people, right? Because we tend to keep our focus on things we're interested in, right? So people who are environmentally minded, that they're already there. The amazing thing about arts and film is that they can be distributed wider. They can, I hate to use cast a wider net here, but you can cast a wider net to really draw people's attention to, some of the things that are going on there in the world. Rebecca's film, by the way, it is a little intense in that you're going to actually see footage of these barrels that are on the bottom of the sea that, have been supplied by the universities and the scientists that are out there working on the site. But they're also going to be filled with beautiful images of our kelp, of our sea life, of free divers. There's going to be, incredible music. So it's really about creating an emotional, feeling for people so that they do remember, I love the ocean and the ocean loves me. Right. And we need to protect that. So anyway, that's what we're up to on Friday. And,
I'm sure it's going to be fun, but it is a serious matter. It is a serious subject. So yeah, of course the film might be a little stark. But the fun for the evening is what we're talking about here. Right?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be, I wouldn't say stark, it's going to be real. Right. I mean, like that. Right. That's the thing. This is real stuff. Right. And it's what we're living with right now. And we need to live in the moment and not keep kicking cans down the road. And what better place than in Laguna Beach, just like Rich said. I mean, we are champions here of this environment.
A few moments ago, right before you walked in, I was talking to the audience about the feeling of actually being alone on the ocean, on a kayak, early in the morning, whenever that is, just that feeling of oneness with the ocean and with the creatures. Tell me that feeling, the feeling you get on a paddleboard, Rich.
That is the exact feeling I hope to be having in about 12 minutes as soon as we leave the studio. That's where I would be right now. But when Julie said, get your butt to the studio at 8 a.m., I was like, okay, I'll be there. I mean, I've said this for years, the ocean, it's my church, it's my sanctuary. And I was actually resistant for a long time to create the book that I created, Blue Laguna, which is a photo book, because now all of a sudden I have a book, I'm marketing it, I'm selling it, and I didn't want to kind of commingle that feeling that you just described with anything business related.
Right.
But when I look at, going full circle, the issues that the ocean faces, I felt I had to do something. Whether I can actually make a difference in the world, I don't know, but I think we have to try.
Right.
And there's nothing like that feeling.
Right.
It's a feeling that I never found through religion or anything like that. It's just the feeling of being out on the water alone in this massive body of water that's just like a mysterious lover. It's right. Beautiful. It's hard to find the words.
No, you found them. Beautifully described. Thank you so much. It's this coming Friday. Tickets are available at lagunaartmuseum.org/events/ocean. As important as an event as you'll go to this year. I'm telling you right now, I would expect to see you there. Wear white, of course. Julie Perlin Lee, Rich Gurman, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
Appreciate having you
thank
here.
You.
8:19 the time.